Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Brewpod Between the Lines podcast. This is your host, Caden Adsit, and a pretty good feeling here after the Brewers end up winning the last two series games of the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Overall, they finish with a series split and really finish the road trip 5-2, going against some division rivals in this road trip. So all told, a pretty good finish to the road trip. Saw some struggles there in the beginning of that Pirates season, but a couple of really good bounce-back games in this one. Brewers remain at the top of the NL Central following this in-week play, and plenty to talk about here in this one. As we always do, we'll talk about some of the in-game breakdown and then some further topics towards the end. Kind of wanted to touch on some of the bullpen ERA and some of the fantastic things that we've seen from them here this season. Want to take a little bit of a deeper dive into some of the standing numbers. There were some things that pointed out to me in the standings when I was taking a peek at those that I wanted to touch on. And then just want to touch on some offensive struggles in some particular spots as well that we will touch on after these in-game recaps here. But yeah, just some excellent play. William Contreras, for one, just stays on a torrid streak at the plate. I mean, really just the backbone of this offense since Christian Yelich has gone down. And when Christian Yelich was in the lineup, the two of them together were a great, 2-3 in the lineup pretty consistently. And like I have mentioned before, it's very rare that it seemed like you would see both of them retired in the same inning. So really good to see him continue to swing the hot bat. Don't think the Brewers would have gotten these victories without him in the lineup, and especially on Wednesday's matchup. But just some really excellent things from him that we'll talk about some of the more in-game things here as well. So with that, we'll bounce into Wednesday's game specifically here to start off. Brewers win this third game of the series with a final score of 3-2. And this was a game for Pat Murphy after some of the injuries that we've seen with the starting rotation in the recent days and kind of the thinning of just the rotation in general and not having the typical availability for guys that we normally would see in these games. Second time through for Bryce Wilson getting kind of a spot start, pretty much just coming in knowing that this is going to be a bullpen day for the Brewers pitching staff. And he does pretty good again today. He ends up going 4 1/3 innings pitched, 3 strikeouts on 3 hits, 2 earned runs, and 2 walks. And really in this one, only one bad pitch and one bad couple of batters that he faced in this one. Kind of got in the third inning there with one out. He had Connor Joe come up, leadoff hitter for the Pittsburgh Pirates, in the number one spot for them in the lineup in this game. He ends up reaching base on a 4-pitch walk from Wilson and then falls behind Brian Reynolds, one of the Pirates' best hitters and best offensive players for the last several seasons for them, and falls behind in the count 3-1, puts a cutter right down the middle, and Brian Reynolds did not miss it. And that was really the only bad pitch in this game through those 4 1/3 innings pitch that he threw that was like, yeah, that was just unfortunately not a good pitch. So good to see him have another strong outing. And this is twice now that we've seen in these bullpen days where the pitching does really well. We don't give up many runs, and end up coming out with a victory like we saw in that bullpen day against the San Diego Padres. So just some really good things for these guys to be able to come in and do what they're supposed to and just get consistent positive arms out of the bullpen. I mean, for how many guys threw in this game, we saw Brian Hudson. He throws an inning and 2/3 of scoreless ball. How good has he been this season? Just really a big thing that I don't think I saw at all. I don't think a lot of people saw is how dominant he's been so far this season. Didn't have a superb spring training by any means, but whatever tweaks he needed to make to come into this season and be honestly probably the best and most consistent arm that we've had in the bullpen so far this year. Seems like everybody else usually has had at least one outing of struggle, but we really haven't seen that from him at all this season. We saw scoreless inning from Peguero, Another good scoreless outing for Trevor McGill. He came in there, and then Yoel Piamps ended up getting the save in this one. Kind of a crazy ninth inning in this game for the Brewers pitching, or for Yoel Piamps in the defense. He ended up collecting essentially five outs in this ninth inning, which sometimes we see four outs, sometimes, you know, but and what I'm saying by this, what I mean by this, is there was two errors in this inning alone. The only two errors of this game for the Milwaukee Brewers defense. One of them, which he was responsible for, kind of had a comebacker there with one out that I think he thought was coming at him quicker than it actually was. So he kind of mistimed his glove position to feel the ball. Ball kind of trickled away, and he still almost made a tremendous play falling away from the pitcher's mound, throwing to first base. But he was not able to get that out. And then next batter up, we see Joey Weimer just completely botch a ball in left field, called off Willy Adames, who is standing there waiting for the ball, and ends up dropping it in a full-out sprint. So not what you want to see, especially in the ninth inning, and not really at all, obviously. You know, guys in the outfield just dropping balls is just not, that's just not acceptable, really, especially in the major league. So not what we wanted to see, but really good job by Yoel Piamps settling in and able to collect the last two outs of this one. Ended up striking out Andrew McCutchen to collect this victory. And the first game of this series where we didn't see him begin the game with a leadoff home run. Granted, he was not actually in the lineup in this game. In the last at-bat, he came in a pinch-hitting position, so that was not an option. But ultimately, Brewers collect the victory in this one, despite another game, kind of a lack of offense here for the Milwaukee Brewers once again. The Pirates on their side, they were supposed to have Quinn Priester start, but we ended up, and I never actually heard what the deal was with that exactly, but we end up seeing left-handed pitcher Josh Fleming come in for the Pirates in this one. Part of this could be the fact that the Pirates manager realized how what lack of hitting we had against the left-hander on Tuesday's game, so maybe that was part of this with Josh Fleming being a left-handed pitcher as well. But Brewers were able to get to him a little bit more. He got in some trouble in the third inning and essentially ended up having two earned runs charged against him. But mainly it was Luis Ortiz that the Brewers were able to get to in this third inning, where they scored all three of their runs in this one. We saw an RBI base hit from Contreras, which that's just come to be a consistent thing for him. He's second in the National League in RBIs in that category, so he continues his hot ways there. And then really just gifted a couple runs, a couple more runs in this inning. Willy Adames gets hit. Then we see Rhys Hoskins get hit, which drew in a run. And then we see a walk to Blake Perkins with the bases loaded as well, which drove in the third run. So honestly, just kind of a gift from the Pirates pitching staff in this inning alone, but that was really the only inning, once again, that the Brewers were able to muster any kind of offense. Yes, there were some threats later on in the game. There was one really poor base running mistake that we saw from Sal Frelick in the sixth inning. Kind of a first and third situation, one out, Bryce Terang steals second, who successfully stole the bag, whether Triolo would have come off of second base or not. But ultimately, Triolo comes off of second base, and Sal Frelick attempts coming home on this play, and just not a smart play. Kind of the Brewers trying to steal a run, but Sal Frelick gets a really late jump at third base and ultimately gets thrown out at home by a few steps, really. Just a poor decision on his end, like I said. Even if Triolo would have stayed back to field the ball at second base and try and apply a tag to Bryce Terang, Bryce Terang had the throw beaten by quite a ways, and he would have gotten in there with no problem. So I think this is part of what I saw in this. I think it was part of the offense kind of pressing a little bit, because we also did see Blake Perkins picked off at first base in this game. And I think this was the way the Brewers were realizing, kind of just a mental thing at this point, that they were struggling to score runs and produce runs at the plate. And I think this was the way that once they got on base, they were trying to force runs, just trying to press a little bit on the base paths and at the plate. But nonetheless, the three runs that they scored ended up being enough due to an excellent bullpen day again from the Brewers pitching staff. So a little bit more just to talk about, dive in the numbers. Contreras ends up, he does go 3-for-4, ends up with three singles and that RBI that I talked about and a walk. So just a great approach in this one. He had base hits to all sides of the field. First inning, he pulls one off the lefty to left field. Second at bat, he shoots one right up the middle. And then in his final at bat, he does what he probably does best, which is shoot the ball on the ground to right field, and just continues to put a tear on the plate and just rake as our primary offensive player at this time, at this point in time, and really going back to last season as well. So ultimately, Brewers win this game 3-2. Good bounce back after a couple of losses. And then we move on to yesterday's game, which I think, arguably, in my opinion, is probably the best victory and best game of the season for the Milwaukee Brewers. A lot of back and forth in this one. Offense started to step it up a little bit. We saw a little bit more of what we've seen from them so far this season. Ended up tallying a total of 12 hits. So really positive to see everybody in the lineup kind of contributing in this one. We continued to see some really good things out of the bullpen, which made up for Freddy Peralta's first rough outing of the season. But Brewers improved to 5-0 with Freddy Peralta on the mound. So maybe there's something there with whenever Freddy's on the mound, the Brewers find a way. But we will take the win however we can get it. And the Brewers earned it in this one. William Contreras in the first inning on a 2-0 count from Mitch Keller. He hits a 448 bomb, foot bomb to left field. Just completely annihilates the baseball as he's been doing all year. He ends up with a couple of hits in this one. Another at bat that he just hits a rocket to right field as well in his second at bat of the game. And like I said, this was just an awesome back and forth game overall. Brewers were able to muster four runs off of Mitch Keller, kind of making up for like what I said with Peralta struggling. He ended up giving up five runs on five walks, which I think the walks in this one were the big no-no for Freddy Peralta. He's been really good at holding or limiting those walks because that has been a place of emphasis in the past in his career. He's always been a pitcher that doesn't give up a lot of hits. And even in this one, five hits seems a little high for what we're used to seeing from him. But a lot of it was because he was falling behind hitters. He had that rough first inning where he gave up a few of those hits just in that first inning alone. And then just the walks, the loss in command, falling behind hitters, putting pressure on himself with having runners on base. Just all this stuff that kind of added up and turned this outing into one of his, definitely his poorest outing so far this season. Didn't end up being able to get through the fifth inning. But, you know, this is what we've been talking about in the prior episodes and whatnot, is that when the Brewers have lost, and this has been true of the first two games of this series too, they have always been right there. They've always been within striking distance coming at the end of the game, losing most of these games only by one or two runs. There really hasn't been a game this year where the Brewers have just gotten completely blown out. Now, at some point, this is going to happen in a 162-game season. It's going to happen at some point where just everything seems to go wrong. But even when things do go wrong, it seems like the Brewers' defense, their pitching, and it's mainly the pitching that is keeping these games in arm's reach for the offense and ultimately for the entire team. So really good job by the bullpen in this one. We have a combination of five relievers that come in, and they cover 4 1/3 innings of scoreless baseball. We saw a third inning finishing up that fifth inning. We saw Hobie Milner come in. We saw Abner Uribe in, which I think was the best outing we've seen from him all season. And the last couple that he's come out in, he's been throwing the ball terrifically. And so whatever adjustments he's making, whatever extra work he's putting in with some of the training staff. They're doing an excellent job at doing that and helping his control, because he goes 1-2-3 in the sixth inning with three strikeouts. We saw Jared Koenig come in. He got into a little bit of trouble to start that seventh inning, which in that case the Pirates still held the lead at this point, 5-4. But first couple runners get on, he induces a ground ball double play, and then eventually gets out of this seventh inning with a scoreless inning there. We saw Pyomps come in the eighth inning. And the big thing in this one, which I know I said some things before about this specific hitter, but how about Gary Sanchez comes in, eighth inning, pinch hit, go-ahead home run against none other than Aroldis Chapman on a ball that was not even near the strike zone, which just amazes me, the way that he was able to get the bat on the ball and hit it as well as he did. Aroldis Chapman comes in with a 102-mile-per-hour fastball up and away, probably about 6 or 7 inches off the plate. And Gary Sanchez, I guess very strong Gary Sanchez, that is, reaches out and drives the ball to right field and puts it into the stands for a go-ahead two-run home run, making it a 6-5 game. And then we saw Pyomps come in. He delivers a scoreless inning in the eighth, facing some of the heart of the Pirates lineup. And I think this is partially why Pat Murphy decides to go with Yoel Pyomps, who has been our closer in the last few outings. But with the heart of the Pirates offense and just a one-run game at this point, he throws our closer in there in what he was thinking was the critical situation in this one. He's able to put up a zero, and then we see the Brewers score an insurance run in the ninth inning from a RBI single from Oliver Dunn. So hopefully, he's been slumping at the plate a little bit, so hopefully this base hit kind of brings up his confidence and maybe he's able to begin breaking out of it. Who knows? But we see him add on an insurance run into the ninth for the Milwaukee Brewers, and then Trevor McGill comes in, delivers a clean ninth inning, and gets his first save of the year. So I think that makes four or five different Brewers pitchers now with saves on the season. I think it'd be five, because we've had one from a couple from Abner Uribe earlier on in the season. We've seen Yoel Pyomps collect a few. We've seen Trevor McGill now with his first. We saw Hobie Milner with his first against the St. Louis Cardinals. And then going back to that three-inning save from Giago Vieira that he was able to collect too. So there may be one more in there that I'm not sure, but that's pretty incredible to have so many different guys that you can count on and go into in these critical positions. And all of them have come in big in these ones. So Brewers ultimately win this game 7-5. A really good way for them to lock down the road trip for against the Cardinals and the Pirates. Like I said, ultimately going 5-2, and now we'll play a handful of home games here. Actually, the biggest homestand of the year so far for the Milwaukee Brewers is going to be 6 games in a row here at home, both against the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, which we'll talk about here coming up in a little bit. So before that, I just wanted to talk about some guys that were struggling at the plate who hopefully were able to see bounce back in this home series. Willy Adames lumbering a little bit at the plate right now. We've talked about him in past episodes and things that he's been doing well, but we see a little bit of a struggle, particularly on this road trip. But I do think there were some positive things to take away from his at-bats still, especially in, like, for example, Wednesday's game. He had some really good contact in this game. There was a lot of line drives or high exit velocity hits off of the bat that just were hit right at somebody, which is really out of the control of the hitter in a sense. Sometimes, you know, depending on where the pitch is made, yes, you make the decision to pull the ball or you know, shoot the ball to right field or shoot it back up the middle, whatever that may be, but sometimes you hit the ball right at a guy and there's really not much you can do but walk away with the fact that that was a positive at bat. So I don't really have any stats on what his expected batting average would be, but I feel like there's a lot of times with Adames that he hits into some bad luck, and I would predict that he should have had some more hits in this series based on his exit velocity. We see Jackson Churio. He's struggling, continues to struggle with the strikeout right now. I think the word is kind of odd on him that he's not really able to cover the high fastball right now. We saw a lot of that in this series, and part of the reason that Pat Murphy took him out of the starting lineup in the last couple games, specifically because of that struggle. He's been coming onto the field, getting in the early work with Willy Adames and William Contreras. So some really good guys and veterans in this league. Well, considered for our team, I consider these guys are veterans, even though Contreras and Adames are both still young players. I think you surround yourself around guys like that that put in the work that they do. I think only good things can come of it. So hopefully we see him break out of it a little bit here coming up on this home stand. And he's had some better numbers at home, so maybe there's a little bit of something there, but hopefully he's able to break out of it. And we have to remember he's only 20 years old, same age as I am, and the fact that he's in the major leagues doing what he's doing is just incredible to me. So, and then Oliver Dunn, I know he's been struggling a little bit too, but hopefully, like I said, that base hit. And he did have some good at-bats here in this one where there were a couple balls that it just seemed like he just missed it with some deep fly balls out to center field. So hopefully he begins to break out of it a little bit and we're able to get a little bit more consistency out of some of these guys at the plate. And then, yeah, I don't know what more we can talk about with this bullpen. I think this bullpen has been outstanding. They've been a lot better than anticipated going into this season. Currently ranked 5th in the major leagues with a 2.73 ERA and 4th best in WHIP in the MLB at 1.07, which is walks and hits per inning pitched, walks and hits allowed per inning pitched. So some really good stats from those standpoints. Obviously, I think Brian Hudson kind of gets the tip of the hat to being the diamond in the rough with this bullpen early on in the season, putting together some outstanding numbers for the lefty. But you can't, you know, say anything less than what these other guys have been able to do. We saw some struggles in the bullpen at the beginning of the year. Thought that maybe that was going to be a little bit of a theme. But lately, Pyomps has thrown 8 scoreless outings in a row for him. Pagero's been really good. Milner's been good. We've seen Trevor McGill come in and have several good outings. Bryce Wilson's really started to figure it out, especially filling in right now in a starting role that is a much-needed filling role right now for this Milwaukee rotation. So just a lot of positive things that we're seeing from this bullpen, and I think they're outperforming what anybody anticipated and expected at this point in the season. So a really good point of emphasis for them, and wanted to give credit to those guys out in the bullpen as well. And then one thing that really stood out to me too, I've been looking at this going back to before this road trip, but I was just spending some more time looking at this. And so the Brewers, like I said, they have a current record at 16-8. But 19 of those games out of those 24 games have been against teams that are better, that have a record better than 500. So a lot of these teams that we're playing are winning record teams. I mean, only 5 games here against winning record teams, and we're about to see a bunch more of that. We're about to see some games against the Yankees. They're on a tear of a start to the season. We're going to see the Tampa Bay Rays, who right now are hovering right at 500, so who knows what we'll see exactly when we get to them, you know, if their record's going to drop below that 500 range or, you know, come above it, depending on that. Then we're going to have our first series against Craig Counsell and the Chicago Cubs, which they're going to be sitting at over 500. And then the Kansas City Royals, who are kind of a surprise to everybody so far this season, they're also sitting above 500 right now too. So not saying that the schedule is going to get any easier, but just wanted to point out that point of emphasis too. Brewers are 12-7 against these teams with a record over 500. So right now, they're proving themselves to be in that top tier of teams so far early in the season. Now, could this narrative change? Absolutely. Do I hope it remains the same? Of course. But I just wanted to give a little bit of emphasis on that point in the standings that I had picked out. And then just to give a little bit more perspective on it too, Cubs right now, they're second in the division with one more loss and one more game played than the Milwaukee Brewers have at this point. But they've only played 12 games against teams with a record over 500, and right now they sit at 6-6 in those games. So Brewers have played a lot more baseball against these better, you know, supposedly better teams. Not to discredit the fact that the Cubs are winning against the teams that they should, because that's what, you know, any winning team wants to do and is supposed to do on paper, and they're doing a good job on that. But just to put it into perspective a little bit, a big differential there, both in record and just number of games played so far in the season against these higher tier teams thus far. So just to carry on from that and just give a further breakdown of the current NL Central standings. So like I said, Cubs currently sit at 16-9 after finishing a sweep against the Houston Astros, who right now are off to an atrocious start to their season compared to what we're used to. But nonetheless, Cubs will end up facing a tough road series coming up here against the Red Sox. Reds come in third at 14-11 after splitting a four-game set with the Philadelphia Phillies. And they'll face a tough series against the Texas Rangers on the road coming up for them. Pirates follow that at 13-13. They will be playing in San Francisco against the Giants next over the weekend. And then the Cardinals come in last at 11-14. After taking two of three from the Diamondbacks, and they next play on the road in New York against the Mets. So just a quick rundown of that. And then lastly, as we always do, kind of heading into this weekend, just want to give a little bit of insight on the pitching matchups that we have scheduled for this weekend. So on Friday's matchup, we'll see Lewis Gill for the Yankees go up against the Brewers' Colin Rea, who right now he's been good. But not to overlook this powerful Yankees offense with, you know, guys like Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, Giancarlo Stanton, just another one of these lineups that we can go up and down, and they just have superstars. They're filled with a lot of power in this lineup, so hopefully Colin Rea is able to limit that a little bit, which will be interesting because since starting in games for the Brewers last season halfway through, that has been one thing that Rea has really struggled with is the long ball. He tends to give up a lot of home runs, so hopefully if that does occur to him in this one, he's able to keep it of the solo home run category, but we'll see from this. So far, off to a really good start to the season, 2-0 with that 2.08 ERA. Moving on from this, in Saturday's game, we'll see Joe Ross for the Brewers go up against the left-handed pitcher Carlos Rodon for the New York Yankees. Rodon is he's a great pitcher. He's a really good lefty. He's been in the Cy Young conversation a couple different years in his career. And then this ties into the point of Brewers offense typically struggling against left-handed pitchers. So hopefully we're able to see a little bit of a change in narrative of this one, but could see a good pitching matchup there. And then to finish out on Sunday, we'll see Tobias Myers for the Brewers make his second career major league start, going up against Marcus Stroman, who Brewers have seen plenty of him through his career, most recently with the Chicago Cubs, and he posts some pretty good career numbers against the Brewers. So he features that heavy sinker cutter and just does a really good job at mixing pitches and even mixing his delivery with timing and whatnot. So we'll be interesting to see what the Brewers offense are able to muster off of him. And then another big thing, just toward, you know, before we wrap up here, is Christian Yelich going to be in the lineup tonight? Are we going to see him halfway through? Right now, it's scheduled that I think the injured list, he's available for, it's either Saturday or Sunday's game, somewhere in there. But he's been doing some activities on the field, running before the game, which typically is a good sign that back is feeling pretty good. So it would be critical to have him in the lineup here in this series, so hopefully we're able to see him come back and get right back onto the tear that he was on before he entered the injured list. And hopefully, just in general, the Brewers are able to start thinning that injured list, as it has been a pretty hefty one so far here to start this season. And like you guys know, wrapping up here, BrewPod Between the Lines podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and other mainstream podcast sites. so feel free to listen to this podcast from wherever it is you may like in the future. I can always be reached on social media using @brew_pod on Twitter or by searching BrewPod Between the Lines Podcast on Facebook or Instagram. Hopefully you guys are about as done with the week as I am. It's been a long week for me, a lot of schoolwork, a lot of balancing between several different things, and hopefully I'm able to relax a little bit this weekend. Going to be attending and visiting Milwaukee this weekend over the weekend, so that'll be a lot of fun. And just looking forward to seeing some baseball back in Milwaukee for the first time in over a week. So going to be good to see that and get a glimpse of American Family Field for the first time this season for myself in person. So we'll see what comes of that. Hopefully you guys are able to enjoy a good weekend. And yeah, with that, we'll see you next time. Talk to you soon. And of course, go Brewers!